Okay, I believe we have a quorum, so we will get the meeting started. In the room, we have Casey Bates, Frank Smith, and myself. And then we have Aaron Newman, Christy Frey, Darwin Little, Judge Elledge, and Megan McKenna. All right. Then we will get started. Can everyone online hear me?
Yeah, this is Darwin. I can hear you just fine.
Great. Thanks, Darwin. Okay, so our first item of business is approval of minutes for our last meeting on May 13th, 2024. If there are any changes or questions, please let us know. If not, I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes. Moved by Casey Bates to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Frank Smith. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Perfect. Okay. And this will likely be a short meeting, everyone. For the next item, the continued strategic plan implementation discussion, Sheriff Smith and Chief Deputy Bates and I met with Cliff Venable last week, a couple of weeks ago, to discuss if we could put together an amended pretrial services program. I think at this point that would be really challenging because the key piece of that is additional staff, and with a well, really any position in the sheriff's office, but a specialized position like that a time limited position that's not guaranteed to move forward, is going to be nearly impossible to fill. And so, as far as being able to leverage our money for that, we don't think that that's going to be a route for us. We'd really need to have some ongoing money for at least, I think we talked about like 3 years, some sort of like 3 year trial period. 1 year is just going to be insufficient to be able to even put a program together and see if it's effective and hire somebody. So, did you guys have anything else to comment on
No,
that?
we did all that.
Okay. Any questions about that?
We wish we could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the passcode for me to get on to all this.
Okay. One other thing. So, county and city council and staff went, we just got back from city tour yesterday, and the project this year for the leadership class is that they're putting together an app. I guess they have some programmers on their team. They're putting together an app with some Spanish speaking services, more kind of like a database to kind of connect people. And so that was something that when I was having discussions with them that I think could actually have some nice, that pairs nicely with what we're trying to do. So I think I'm going to work with them to see if we can get them some one-time funding to support that through some of the CJCC monies that were set aside by the legislature, and see if that has alignment, because they're going to be putting, behavioral health, criminal justice related resources on there. And I think that fits nicely also with the work that we're doing for the form translation. And so I think those will be some great ways that we can show that with one-time money, we can be effective, so that hopefully we can get in the future some sort of set aside that's either, at least ongoing for a certain trial period by the legislature to be able to implement some specific bigger programs like pretrial services. With that, if there are no questions or comments, we'll go into the council comments on current criminal justice events. Or issues, excuse me. Does anyone have any? I know it's a smaller group today.
I don't honestly.
Melina, I was just going to say, and I sent this out to Aaron, but we have an available one bedroom unit in Richer Place that is specifically set aside for homeless individuals. So I just wanted to put it out to this group that if reach out to me, that unit is always set aside for homeless. So if we have someone that comes through the system that is
Yeah.
looking, please feel free to reach out to me.
Megan, have you talked to Jen O'Brien at the clubhouse? Because I know that there are multiple of the members that are experiencing homelessness right now.
Yeah, she was on the list that I sent it out to.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And Malia, if I could just add to that specifically on the clubhouse, Jen was able to complete negotiations with Deer Valley, where they're also providing housing to, they have to be a member through the clubhouse for recommendation, but if they're homeless with a mental illness, Deer Valley will be providing housing. They've set aside 6 units for it.
Wow. How, I don't know that I've ever asked this question, but with clubhouse, I mean, when I look at the people that are entering our criminal justice system, many of them have co-occurring behavioral and mental health issues and concerns as well. Are there any stipulations for people that are, say, in the drug court program also being members of Clubhouse? How does that work? Because I'm thinking where the overlap is. That would be kind of a nice way if possible.
We have about 3 members that are currently in our drug court program. So we're slowly working on that integration. It's just one of those wonderful bridges Jen's been building since she became the director there.
Well, and I wonder, because that was another thing that we've talked about on our strategic plan is the aftercare type program for drug court. And I know that that's different, but I mean, again, that's a whole program that would be expensive and time intensive to ramp up. I wonder if there's ways for us to have Clubhouse serve as a stopgap for that or fill that need somewhat until we can actually have a more formalized aftercare program. So maybe that's worth, maybe Aaron, you and I can sit down and have that conversation with Jen and maybe pull Margaret in and just see kind of what that might look like programming wise.
And again, we're kind of working on that already to an extent. The first hurdle we have is with, well, it's not a hurdle. We're working with Pat Putt because we have to change the conditional use permit.
Mm-hmm.
You remember all of the fun we had with getting the clubhouse up and running.
Yeah.
Was very limited on when we could be opening and when we had to be closed. So we're working with Pat to extend the hours to later into the evening and then as well as on the weekends. I think the hardest part for the integration with drug court is you have to be working 40 hours a week or doing community service. And so with our current hours, it made it rather difficult. I think Christy had something to add to that too.
I just think if you're going to have a meeting about it, I would love to be involved in it. Yes. Just because there's some other pieces of that I think have to be considered too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christy. I wasn't trying to leave you out. I was just spitballing that there should be a meeting. So yes,
no
for anyone else that would like to come to that meeting.
No, I think it's like really, really good thoughts and ideas towards that direction. I love that. Just a couple of things. I just want to make sure, you know, we don't forget to discuss. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christy. But I think that's great. I believe that with that process, I know that they have been working on that. And I've spoken to Jen O'Brien as well about the process to extend those hours. And I think that's moving forward. So. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that would be great if we could use that and leverage that within the community, because I mean, in our conversations, that was really kind of what we were talking about is there a nonprofit that can take this on and really focus on this? And I think that would be a great fit.
No, and I think just to throw this out there, one of the long-term goals for the clubhouse is to work again with Pat and then his replacement when that takes place, to see about doing some transitional housing or short-term emergency housing on the facility site where the clubhouse is right now. We do have the ability with one of the structures there to potentially retrofit it. But again, it all depends on what the conditional use permit says.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, anything else? Aaron, I'm sure you have something else you need to talk about with this group, right?
Nothing right now, if you can believe it.
I really can't, but okay.
Just we are coming. Okay, I'll share something. How's that?
Okay.
Just we're ending our 4th year with the MCOT, the Mobile Crisis Outreach Team. So we're doing an analysis of what that looks like, what has been the impact on the community with that. We are, just based on our trends over the past 4 years, we're coming out of our highest utilization time. Spring is when we see, and it's not just with the MCOT, but you see this statewide with other crisis services. So hopefully we'll start to see things slow down a bit, but spring is 100% the most utilized time for the MCOT.
Okay. Have we looked into why that is the case? Is that normal? Is that, are we an outlier in that way?
We're not an outlier, and there's studies happening all over. Japan's led the way in the studies. The thinking tends to be spring, especially for mountain communities with the snow melt. For individuals with a mental health disorder, they're able to isolate through the winter and not be as active. As the weather gets better, people are calling them, wanting them to come out. There's more pressure to be engaged. And early findings in the studies in Japan are leaning towards that as the cause. But as far as anything specific, there's nothing I've seen unless Christy's seen something directly.
No, nothing that nothing concrete.
Okay. Great. Megan, Darwin, Christy, Dodelage, anything else? Okay. Well, then we will just have a short meeting today, and our next meeting will be the first Monday of July. Well, actually, let's talk about that, because that's, yeah, I'm assuming probably a lot of people are gone.
Malina and I did have one little thing.
Yeah, please.
This is a restorative justice program that it's called the Peace Circle.
Sorry, it's called what?
Restorative Justice Program.
Okay.
And specifically, it's called the Peace Circle. It's piloted down in, in Salt Lake, but I think it came from Canada. Lieutenant Vi went and attended a month or so ago with some Salt Lake City officers or some officers in the Salt Lake Valley, along with some repeat offenders. And Sim Gill was in there as a 3-day event. And first part of it was dealing with, you know, you got law enforcement on one side and offenders on the other side. And so it was kind of, you know, and folded arms and not really open. But after the third day, people from both sides, prosecutors, law enforcement, and offenders, got to really understand the background of one another. Didn't matter any specific religion, but they did talk about religion as assisting them in this program. So I don't know if that's something that this group wants to look at or not, or maybe this isn't the right time to discuss this as we're going through there, but thought it might be a decent program to consider with lower financial impacts and some of the other things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I wonder, Darwin, if we want to put that on the agenda for our next meeting. Maybe you can ask Vi to come too and maybe present just on what that experience was and how they put that together. And we can ask questions about what that might look like. Do you think he'd be willing to do that?
You bet.
Cool. Then let's do that. I think that would be great to explore. And I'll note that on the agenda. Is there anything else, or shall we schedule our meeting? Okay, so the 8th, or well, the 1st, we have the options, the 1st, the 8th, or the 15th. July 4th is on a Thursday, so I don't know how that's impacting people's travel plans, but if it's easier to do it before or after, or just bypass and do the 15th.
That's fine. 15th?
All right. Is everyone online okay with 15th at 9 a.m.?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Then I would entertain a motion for adjournment. And thanks everyone for coming. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Moved by Casey.
Second.
Second by Frank. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everybody.